This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Bankovic. What a pleasure it is to be with you today. Oh, my goodness, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise be to God for all things. I want to share with you a little bit that I am currently here in Birmingham, Alabama, Irondale, Alabama, actually, on the campus of EWTN. Always like coming here and using the studio right here, being with you as we spend this time together. Praise our Lord and thanking Him for all of the blessings that He brings to us in our lives, minute by minute, second by second. There are always abundant graces available for us. One of my favorite passages, you know, comes into my mind every time I say that. It comes from Ephesians, and it comes from Ephesians 1, verse 3. And St. Paul writes the Ephesians and says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens." And I emphasize that word has because I think that that is probably the linchpin of that entire passage, that entire verse revolves around that has, that little wee word. Sometimes the greatest of blessings are contained in the smallest of words in sacred scripture. Could give you jillions of examples of that. But for the sake of that passage, the has is so important because it tells us that this is something that started at a given point in time but continues to the present day. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ. The bestowal happened in the past. It happened at the moment that our Lord gave His life for us right there on Calvary's Hill. And that has does what? That has tells us that though it began at that time, it didn't end at that time. Though it's an action from the past, it didn't end in the past. It continues forward. So when we read that passage, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens, we know that these spiritual blessings continue. That the redemptive grace that was given to us at a particular moment in time didn't end at that time, but that it's always there for us, 24/7. And how many blessings do we get? That beautiful, lovely adverb tells us. We get every spiritual blessing in the heavens. There is nothing that God retains for Himself. Rather, He gives us everything. Now, sometimes it can be difficult to see those blessings that are being given, and sometimes they're very apparent. But in those moments when they seem to be veiled, hidden, covered, they're there nonetheless. And we beg and we ask God to give us the spiritual eyes to see them, to give us the gift of wisdom to perceive them, to give us the grace to receive them, and to give us the will to walk in them. And then we find that everything begins to change. And the most difficult, horrific of circumstances carries with it a fire-tried gold that can be for us the acquisition of the pearl of great price, the certitude that God is with us in and through all things. And of course, that certainly does bring me to this moment in time when we grieve with all of those families who lost children in the horrific massacre yesterday. I cannot imagine what it must be like to experience such a tremendous sorrow. But as people of faith, without ignoring the reality of it and without ignoring the pain of it and the suffering of it and the depths of grief that certainly must be at the forefront of the experience of these parents and these grandparents and these family members and these friends and these teachers and these people, we acknowledge the fact that even in this, our God will work and is working a great good. We can't understand it. And I don't think that God really expects us to understand it. I think that He simply invites us to believe that it is true. That there is nothing out of which he cannot work a great good. I think it causes us to dig very deeply into faith and into hope. And so maybe that is the call today, right? We are here at this moment in time for a reason, and we're at the beginning of this liturgical season for a reason, and maybe we need to think about that a little bit in light of the fact that we have to dig more deeply into faith, rely more profoundly upon hope as we make our way through a very broken and fallen world. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, helps us to carry these crosses. In the meantime, I want to encourage all of us to continue to keep these people in our prayers. I want us to continue to beg God for these moms and these dads and these siblings and all of their extended family members to beg God for the wisdom to see, to help them to accept the grace that God wants to give them in this moment. And so, Father God, we do turn to you in this moment, and this is the prayer of our hearts. We lift up to you all of those young people that lost their lives, many of whom without knowledge of you, Lord, many of whom never knowing you, many of whom were not in a good place to have this moment happen. And we rely upon your mercy, Lord, knowing that you make every provision available to us, knowing that none of us knows exactly what happens at that moment that soul is separating from body, but you. And what is a fleeting second in time is caught up in the eternal moment. And in that eternal moment, much can transpire in what would be a nanosecond in this temporal dimension in which we live. And so, Father, we ask that you would take the prayer that we're praying now and you would make it effective at that moment for these young people, that for those who never knew you, they see you and say yes to you. For those who were far from you, even though they knew you, would see your mercy and say yes to you. We ask that you bring consolation and comfort through the heart of your mother to all of those parents that are experiencing this great tragedy in such a personal way. We ask the same for the siblings of these children, and we ask the same for all of their extended family members, for the community of Parkland, Florida, we pray. For the state of Florida and all of the states in these United States and for every country in the world, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that one good that would come from this tragedy would be that you would focus our eyes upon the reality that we are a broken and fallen people and that we are in need of a Savior. May this be a moment of great evangelization, Lord. May it be a moment when hearts and minds are open to you in a way in which they've never been open to you before. And may we cry out with the apostle, O death, where is thy sting? Because great life can come from that which we would consider to be death. And we offer this prayer to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and always with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Well, we're here for you live from the studios in Irondale, Alabama, inviting you to give us a call here. If you are in North America, we've got a number for you. And as you know, it's a new 800 number. It begins 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick it up. Give us a call. We're eager to hear from you. You can text us too. Did you know that? And how do you text us? You text us to text EWTN 255-000. That's EWTN 255-000. We're eager to receive your phone call here. We're eager to take your text messages, and we're eager to join you out there on social media. We sure are. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you'll be able to see us right here in the studios at EWTN, waving to all of you that are with us there. We enjoy spending this time with you, having holy conversation with you, and we're here for you to do just that. I am Johnnet Benkovic. You are listening to Women of Grace. Let's go to a break. Let's get you on the air with us today. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Our meditation for Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent is one that is very much pointed toward the divinity of Christ and accepting Christ as the Son of the Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, because of skepticism in biblical teachings, people are at times saying something I find incomprehensibly stupid, that Jesus did not know who he was. All I can say is the Jesus that they're talking about is not the Jesus that I find in the New Testament or the Jesus I believe in. Jesus Christ, for the Christian, is absolutely unique. He is the only begotten Son of God. We are the adopted sons and daughters of God. Now, quite honestly, to believe this, you must have been given faith. It's a mystery. We all believe things about God that are absolutely mysterious. For a Jewish or Muslim person, the being of God is utterly, absolutely mysterious. You must come to it with faith. And for the Christian, the being of God is ultimately absolutely mysterious, but so is the being of Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth, and the Holy Spirit. And when the Christians had their first council after the persecutions at Nicaea, they said, they reiterated the belief, there is one God, but in God there are three persons. This is the great source of Christian mystery. We're not going to explain it. But if you want to be a Christian, you have to believe it.
March 14th. Reverend James Alberoni said, "The mission of the priest is to save souls, but he cannot do it effectively unless he has helpers. Now woman, by reason of her deeply religious nature and her power over man, is ideally suited for this task. She should, therefore, joyfully and methodically cooperate with the clergy in the noble task of extending Christ's kingdom on earth." Let us reflect. In what one way can I cooperate with the clergy in the noble task of extending Christ's kingdom on earth?
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnnet Benkovic, and oh my goodness, I'm so delighted to be with you today here from Irondale, Alabama. If you're watching us out there on EWTN's radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, our social media offering to you, then you can see that because the background is different than you normally see when I am doing the program from sunny Florida. We do invite you to call us. You heard those numbers. I'm going to give them to you again. It is a brand new toll-free line, so we're asking you to jot it down. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Pick up the phone, punch in those numbers, and join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. We have RJ calling us from Florida today, and we're going to go to him. He's listening to us via iHeartRadio. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
Hey, Jeanette. I just want to thank you for the last time I called, and you prayed with me. And I want to tell you, as a blind person coming into the church, just last night going to Ash Wednesday Mass, it was so beautiful. And when they put the ashes on my head, and I felt that man put his finger on my head and say, "Repent and believe in the gospel," I knew I made the right decision to become a Catholic.
Oh, RJ, I got to tell you, I have chills. Oh, I'm so happy. And, you know, it's a beautiful reality of our church. You know, we're an incarnational church, we say. Jesus Christ, true God, true man, second person of the Blessed Trinity, incarnated in the womb of Our Lady.
Ask you to do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Could you pray for St. Maria Goretti's intercession for me? Because you know how much I love St. Maria Goretti, and I would be so honored if you would do that for me.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. And so, Father God, go ahead.
And can we also do a Hail Mary?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We bless your holy name, for you are Lord of lords and King of kings. Father God, you are the God of provision. You are the God of protection. You are the God of leadership. Father God, you call us by name into being, and we thank you that we are wonderfully made in you. We thank you that we image you and that you made us in your likeness. And we pray that throughout the course of our days, we always strive to be in the likeness of you. And so it is that we come together now, and I lift up to you your son, RJ. His heart so wide open, Lord, to all that you desire to do in him and through him by way of Holy Mother Church. What joy it must be to your fatherly heart to see your son come to the mother. Oh my goodness, Father, it just must be such an incredible delight for you. And that delight spills over into the life of your son, who even last evening experienced that certitude, that surety, that he's made the right decision in becoming a son of yours, a son through the one whom we call Mother, our church. And so it is that I would ask that all of the saints in heaven, in a particular way, St. Maria Goretti, would pray for RJ. We ask that you would safeguard him in all of the virtues that are most important. We ask you, St. Maria Goretti, you who gave your life for the sake of chastity, to intercede in a beautiful way for that gift, for the Son of God who is coming into the church, RJ. We ask that you would lift your prayers high to the throne of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I would ask St. Maria Goretti that in some way you would make your presence known to RJ, in some way that you would let him know that the prayer has been heard and that you stand in unison with him. And Father God, we would pray that that would be in accordance with your holy and immaculate will. I ask also, too, that you, Mary, our mother, you who are the archetype of the church, would pray for your son as he makes his way to this moment when he truly receives the fullness of truth through the church that your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, founded. And so, Mother, isn't it fitting that we would ask you to intercede? Isn't it fitting that we would rely upon your maternal beatitude? And isn't it fitting, Father, that we would end our prayer for RJ with that beautiful prayer that so exquisitely takes us to the moment that the second person of the Blessed Trinity was incarnated in the womb of the Virgin, that we might have salvation. And so it is that we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. RJ, thank
you
so much. God bless you too. Thank you so, so very much for your call today, and congratulations to you on your coming into the faith and making this beautiful decision. And I'm so pleased that last evening's Mass meant so much to you. I hope it meant as much to each one of us as well. Thank you, RJ, and God bless you.
You're welcome.
Bye now. Let us give you that number again, 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. It's 833-288-EWTN. That converts to 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. In the conversation there with RJ, we were talking about the fact that the church is an incarnational church, meaning that we believe that all of God's creation has importance to us, and that, you know, we have the opportunity to, in some way, remind us that God is in the midst of all things, including the created order. And it's a beautiful reality that our sacraments, obviously, can, in some way, contain that reality through the matter that they use for those sacraments. The Holy Chrism, for example, that is placed on a baby's head during baptism, the water that is used there, right? The fact that we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ through a substance that becomes transubstantiated through bread and through wine. We hear the words of the priest as he gives us absolution, and we see the gesture of the sign of the cross being made, right? Yet another incarnational sign. We have the man and the woman who present themselves to the altar of God for the sacrament of matrimony, the exchange of rings, right? We see that. We see it in every sacrament that we have. We see it in the anointing of the head of a man who becomes priest, the anointing of his hands. We see all of these things, right? And matter is used. And there is RJ, and he shares with us that he's blind, right? So some of what we see with the capacity of our eyes and the the physiology that works to permit us to see is missed by those who are blind. But wasn't it beautiful how that tactile sense, that feeling of the ashes being placed upon his forehead, that signing of the cross with those ashes meant so much to him? That reality enunciated perhaps in a way clearer to RJ than to us who are sighted, because we see it. So maybe we don't close our eyes to really experience that profundity of the moment. But he did. And, you know, it might be a nice little thing for us to do today, just to remember back to receiving the ashes yesterday and to close our eyes and, you know, to ask the Lord to make present again in some way that sensation that we felt as those ashes were being placed upon our forehead. All of these beautiful, opportunities that are given to us through the use of matter in the sacraments and in these liturgical moments are really meant to impress us on a very deep level. They're meant to make an impression in us so that we can return to them and enter into the mystery that they represent. And those mysteries, though, you know, they're mystical, nonetheless are very, very real, and they exist in the eternal moment. And they're waiting for us, just waiting for the receptivity of our heart to open up to receive them. And, I sometimes think to myself, you know, how many opportunities have you missed, Johnette? Because you were distracted by something, or you allowed distractions to prevail upon you, that you weren't really taking full advantage of that was being offered to you. And so we come to these moments with a true intentionality. And, we ask God to help us in these ways, right? And to help us in all ways. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. If you want to use the telephone, if you would rather prefer to text us, you can. It's 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Put your name in. Let us know how you're listening to us today and put your comment up there. Keep it pithy. But your insights, your inspirations, your questions and comments, your words of encouragement, always important to us here at Women of Grace, where we love to have Holy Conversation with you. And we're available to you also through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So just join us right here. Let's see what God has in mind for us. Raphael is with us via Facebook. He says, my mother is dying. Where is God? Raphael, you know, the thing of it is that God is always with us. And he is there in this moment in a profound way. And I'm sorry for the loss that you are experiencing. And yet, I know that when we're facing such a key moment, this moment can be such a holy one. Heaven is not far from the deathbed. Heaven is always present to the deathbed. And when a soul is passing from this life to the next, we have all of the heavenly choirs and the saints in heaven. We have the guardian angel of the person. We have our Blessed Lady immediately with us. I want you to beg God, Raphael, to give you the eyes to see that truth. Not to see them with natural vision, but to know them with a supernatural vision. Be an encouragement to your mom at this time. Speak words to her. Whether she's alert and aware or not, speak words to her. Tell her about the beauty of this moment, that she's soon going to be with Jesus. Tell her how it is that all of heaven is waiting for her at this moment. Let her know that it's okay to go, to be there, to be present to the one who is always present to her, our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for her audibly so that she can hear. You will be lifted up even as she is lifted up. Pray that beautiful Hail Mary. You heard us just pray it now with RJ. And that last part of the Hail Mary, that last stanza, is a prayer of supplication. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What consolation that will bring to the heart of your mom. St. Faustina tells us that Jesus asks that we pray the chaplet of divine mercy at the bedside of a dying person, that it's very efficacious, that it brings great grace. Yes, it's difficult to lose a loved one. But when we're watching and experiencing a holy death, there is nothing better than that. If your mother has not received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, call for a priest to come and ask that priest to pray as well the apostolic pardon, which takes care of the temporal punishment, the residual effect of sin. Make this time a holy time. It will take your eye off of the sorrow of the moment, and it will focus it on the joy of the coming of eternal life. Additionally, it will bring you great consolation and great comfort. This is the way to use this moment. And remember that just as surely as God is there with your mother, God is there for you too. And cry out to him. And ask Our Lady to be your comfort and your consolation at this time. Well, friends, you are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Bankovic. We are happy to be with you today. The phone lines are open. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Say hi to Matt. We're going to be right back.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
This week on EWTN On Location, the 2017 EWTN Catholic Radio Conference comes to EWTN Television featuring Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Larry Richards, Tompkin and Blaze, the EWTN Choir, Dr. David Anders, EWTN Radio Affiliates, and more. It's an hour of highlights from the Catholic Radio event of the year. Join us for EWTN On Location this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Hello, ladies. Jonette Benkovic here. Do you feel called to be a leader, to transform the world, to deepen your faith? Why not then accept my invitation to explore the new partnership between the Women of Grace Benedicta Leadership Institute and Holy Apostles College and Seminary? All sorts of dynamic, enriching educational opportunities are yours, from auditing courses to certification to full graduate degrees in pastoral studies, all with a focus on Catholic women's leadership. For more details, go to benedicta.womenofgrace.com. That's benedicta.womenofgrace.com.
I'm Morning Glory's Brian Patrick, and during this Lenten season, we are all called to grow closer to the crucified Christ. We pray that Lent is a holy and blessed time, and we ask you to stay with us as we observe the season here on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There's only one show just for non-Catholics, Call to Communion. Join us at 2 p.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Women of Grace.
Be a part of Women of Grace. The phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Benkovic. We are delighted to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live. You just heard those numbers, but let me give them to you again. It's 833-288-EWTN. If you're here in North America, that's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, and you know we put you to the front of the line, if you call in outside of North America, your number is country code 1-205-271-2986. 85. Dial 1, then 205-271-2985. We look forward to hearing from you. We have Bernadette on the line, but before we go to Bernadette, I just wanted to read something for you, Raphael, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And, you know, the idea is that while we fear death and we don't like death, and death separates us from our loved ones in the sense that we don't see them anymore, the fact of the matter is they're only invisible to us. And the Church tells us this about death, and I think that it helps for us to be thinking about this in light of our own deaths, right? None of us is going to get out of here alive unless Jesus comes back again. And I'm just not thinking that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't know, but maybe not. So we prepare for our death. You know, and I don't mean this in a morose way, that we're always looking towards, you know, with gloom and doom. Oh, I'm going to die someday. No, but we're aware of the fact that we could die at any moment. And we've seen that so very recently. So the idea is that we live our life in preparation for that moment of the parting of our soul from our body. We don't wait to the last minute to try to get right with God, hoping that we have a chance. We make sure that we're walking in righteousness all of the days of our lives. Yes, we stumble and fall, but we make really quick remediation for it. We get to the sacrament of confession. We go about the business of getting cleaned up. We go about the business of making certain that we are in the will of God to the extent that we can be. And I'll tell you something. Our God is so good. When we're not in his will, he's going to make it clear to us that we're not in his will. And then we have a choice. We have to get about the business of choosing for him, which may mean choosing against that which we perceive to be a pleasure or that which would be a natural inclination for us. So the idea is, you know, let's not consider death to be, something that we ought to fear, but rather something that we ought to be preparing for. Catechism says this in paragraph 1012 and 1013. The Christian vision of death receives privileged expression in the liturgy of the church. Isn't that interesting? Lord, for your faithful people, life is changed, not ended. You see, this is what Holy Mother Church tells us. When the body of our earthly dwelling lies in death, we gain an everlasting dwelling place in heaven. And that's the true destiny that God desires for each one of us. And we can choose for that destiny or against it. but let's choose for it. And when we have a loved one who is passing, let's do all that we can to affect that for them by making proper provision for them at the time of the death. Some of the ways I delineated for you prior to our break. Paragraph 1013 says, death is the end of man's earthly pilgrimage, of the time of grace and mercy, which God offers him so as to work out his earthly life in keeping with the divine plan and to decide his ultimate destiny. Listen to those beautiful words. This is the teaching of the church. Death is the end of man's earthly pilgrimage. It's the time of grace and mercy which God offers him so as to work out his earthly life in keeping with the divine plan and to decide his ultimate destiny. And it says this, when the single course of our earthly life is completed, we shall not return to other earthly lives. There is no reincarnation. It is appointed for men to die once. There is no reincarnation after death. And then paragraph 1014 says, the church encourages us to prepare ourselves for the hour of our death. The church encourages us to prepare ourselves for the hour of our death. In the ancient litany of the saints, for instance, she has us pray, from a sudden and unforeseen death, deliver us, O Lord. To ask the Mother of God to intercede for us at the hour of our death in the Hail Mary, and to entrust ourselves to St. Joseph, the patron of a happy death. And then I'm going to read this, and we'll let this go. But I want you to hear this. This is important. Every action of yours, every thought, should be those of one who expects to die before the day is out. Is that morbid? No. That's living out the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. We might ask ourselves right this moment, how prepared are we? Are we prepared to lose our life today in some way unforeseen? Are we preparing for that? How? Are we striving to live every second of our lives as if it was the last second we would live? How do we do that? Every action of yours, every thought, should be those of one who expects to die before the day is out. Death would have no great terrors for you if you had a quiet conscience. Then why not keep clear of sin instead of running away from death? There's a good question. Then why not keep clear of sin instead of running away from death? If you aren't fit to face death today, it's very unlikely you will be tomorrow. Listen to these words. That comes from The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis. And then this beautiful word from St. Francis of Assisi. Praised are you, my Lord, for our sister bodily death, for whom no living man can escape. Woe on those who will die in mortal sin. Blessed are they who will be found in your most holy will, for the second death will not harm them. So just some words to think about today. And there's even more to be said, but we'll hold that because Bernadette is with us. Bernadette is with us from Boston, Massachusetts, and she's listening to us via Station of the Cross. And let's go to Bernadette right now. Hi, honey. How are you today?
Oh, I'm well, Johnette. I love your show. I think you're amazing.
Oh, God is so good.
I just only want to share something.
Okay.
That, you know, it's, you're well aware, it's Lent. So I, as usual, make this big long list of things that I want to do to improve during Lent and or observances, and then usually become a Lenten flunky. But this year, I decided to start off correctly by going to confession on Tuesday because
beautiful.
I just really did not feel comfortable going to communion, so I was going to confession, and I did not want to go. I just having this conversation with myself, no, don't make me. But I just thought, okay, I'll call the priest who's my confessor, and if he doesn't have time, then I'm off the hook. And, of course, he was like, come on down anytime. So I trotted off to the rectory and went to confession, and a good confession. And so I went to Mass on Ash Wednesday, and with my 7-year-old, I really didn't know how I was going to make that all happen before school started, but the Holy Angels intervened and I was able to do that. And one of my goals was to go to daily Mass during Lent. And I thought, I do not know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to find the time. It's not, I'm a stay-at-home mom. What a ridiculous statement. So this morning, I thought, okay, you can do this. Just do it a day at a time. Just like put the skirt on and just go. And so I had looked up a church nearby and found that they had a 9 a.m. mass. And so I drove to the church. There's no one in the parking lot.
Oh, dear.
So I really just felt bereft, but I was like, no, I'm not going to give up. So the whole reason I'm telling you this is because if other people are feeling like they just can't launch with whatever their observances are, there's hope for us all, if there's hope for me. So I sat in that parking lot, and I know technology is really the hands of Satan most of the time, but sometimes it's really not, because I was able to find out which Catholic church had a mass nearby with my phone. So I'm driving to the other church, and I thought, I'm going to be late, but it's all right. I'm making the effort. So I drive across town, I go to this other church, and my phone is telling me that I've arrived. The St. Mary's Church in Randolph, Mass., you've arrived. And I'm looking around, Johnette, nothing.
No church.
Nothing looks like a church. It just looks like banks and shopping malls, and just I can't see the church. So I'm driving, and again, miraculous phone, it shows me a picture of the church. So I'm driving through this little neighborhood, and all of a sudden I see the roof of the church. It just, you never would have known it was a Catholic church ever. So I pull up and I walk in, and really I felt like I was walking into a corporate building, except there were crosses on the glass doors in the front. And I walked in and I got there before the first reading. What a miracle. I knelt down, said a prayer, and I got in the pew, and the church was just, it was very modern, but really beautiful. And all of a sudden, I felt this, I can't even tell you, it was a very intense feeling that the angels had just drawn me into that building, that they were surrounding me like, he didn't win, you didn't get discouraged, we got her here, she's in the pew, we got her here. And the priest was just lovely, and he said the tiniest little homily, but he said something that just stuck with me, and this was it. He said, in the reading, I'm paraphrasing, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. And he said, when Christ says that to us, he is not telling us to deny what he has made. He is telling us to deny what we have become.
Oh, wow. That's
and
very good.
I thought that was really deep. And I kept that with me. And I just felt like God had just called me this. You can do this. You can go to Mass every day. You've probably gone to Mass every day for your entire life. But I just felt like, see, he's going to help you. If you just make a little effort, he's going to help you. Even if the building doesn't look like a church, he's going to find the way for you. And I just felt so encouraged, and I just wanted to call and share that because someone shared on a radio show yesterday on EWTN that she struggled with completing her Lenten observances that she set out to do, and it just made me feel like you're not the only one. Maybe somebody else doesn't set out their list of things and not be able to, you know, stick to it. So I just wanted to share that because it was really just such a beautiful, I can't even describe what it was like sitting in that church. And then after Mass, I just went and knelt before the statue of the Blessed Mother because I just felt like this is Mary. This is Mary. I she is the one that intercedes for us to do these things. And that's it. Anyways, I just wanted to tell that little story. Hopefully someone out there who thinks they can't find time for some Lenten observance might think, oh, maybe I could.
Well, I got to tell you, Bernadette, I'm thoroughly delighted that you called in and that you shared this beautiful story with us because, number one, it's so obvious to me how the Holy Spirit orchestrated this for you. And what makes it so obvious, the story itself tells that tale, right? But there's more than that. It's what's going on in your voice. It's what's going on in your heart. And you communicate it so well, and that exhilaration and that zeal and that sheer joy is profoundly present in what you're sharing, and that lifts us all up. And it also, I think, carries a very beautiful lesson with it, and that is that God will meet us where we are, and he'll take us where we need to be. And he did that for you in a geographic sense today. But he does that in a spiritual sense too. He meets us where we are and he'll take us where we need to be. We just have to be willing to be met there. We just have to be willing to put in the effort that requires us showing up. If we just show up, he's going to take us the distance. A couple of words I do want to share, you know, because I think that we oftentimes get very hard on ourselves when we find that we, you know, have made this beautiful commitment to a particular Lenten observance and we don't carry through or we fall off for a day or so. The idea is that is the journey, isn't it? I mean, in a certain sense, that Lenten journey is a microcosm of the whole of our lives. You know, we set off in a certain direction. We want to make progress in that direction, but we're human persons and we are weak and we are frail. And so we don't always go the distance every moment. We might have a temporary lapse, but we get back up again and we continue forward. And that points out numbers of things to us. And they're not negative things. First of all, we have the opportunity for a beautiful moment of illumination where we see ourselves as we are. These are treasured moments. And that's what the priest was talking about in the homily there. It's a treasured moment when we gain self-knowledge. We might not like what we see, but that shouldn't in any way encumber us or make us feel horrid. It just shows an area where we need to have more of Jesus. And that's why the Holy Spirit prevails upon us and shows us through the gift of illumination of heart, you know, where it is that we need more of the Lord. And that then leads to a beautiful virtue. And that virtue is the virtue of humility. So even in those moments when we don't live up to our own expectation, you know, God will use that to move us forward in the spiritual life if we'll make use of that opportunity. Another thing I want to say, too, is to be realistic about what it is that we determine we're going to do through Lent and not to be overly rigid. And I say that at, you know, with some trepidation, because what I'm not saying is just, you know, be self-indulgent and be lax about what we intend to do. I'm not saying that at all. But it would be very foolish for somebody who has never, made a decision to fast from, you know, I don't know, just name something, all through Lent, you know, that is a normal part of what they eat together as a family. I mean, that might not be a wise decision because in that way, you know, you're separating yourself from the community. I'm thinking about this. Lots of people will say, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin a time of I'm going to exercise all through Lent because, you know, that's going to teach me discipline for my body and this and that and this and that. And they come up with a program that's not attainable. They've never lifted a weight in their lives and that, you know, they're going to try to bench press, you know, a whole lot of weight. It's kind of silly. This is what I'm saying. So what we want to do is we want to challenge ourselves. Challenge is a good word, but to put out there an unrealistic expectation only is going to lead to failure. Far better that we challenge ourselves and do the best that we can with a reasonable challenge than put something on ourselves that is not likely to be attainable by us. So with reference to your going to Mass every day, I think that's beautiful. And that is attainable in most cases. It will require self-sacrifice, but I think it's a good challenge. Your little one gets ill or something crops up and you can't make it, you know, God understands that, but the striving for it and the achievement of it does great things for our spiritual life. So it's beautiful what you've shared and what you've experienced today. And I think it gives us all courage to move forward. This is like, you know, Lent just started, but it's good to start it off in the way in which we want it to end. And you've done that. And thank you. Thanks, Bernadette.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeanette. Thank you for your show.
You're welcome, sweetheart. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
Thanks. Bye. You know what else I loved, friends? I love that Bernadette said she threw on a skirt. Now, I'm not saying that a skirt is the only proper attire for Mass, but it does bring to mind that we should be properly attired when we go to Mass, right? Just thinking about it. I live in Florida. People come in shorts and tank tops, so I'm just saying. Flip-flops, shorts, and tank tops. You know, I know the Lord delighted that we're there, but come on. Is that the way we really want to greet our King? Just asking the question, that's all. Let's go to Bob. He's calling us from Horseheads, New York today. He's listening to us via Station of the Cross. We certainly do invite you to call us too. 833 888-3986 is the way you can do it. It's 833-288-EWTN. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. Almost afternoon.
It is. It's getting close to that Eastern time-wise, isn't it?
Yes. I'll go real fast because I have two things. I get emotional, and secondly, you're almost out of time. So I'm in a position. I've done my reversion. I've done my spiritual growth thing for 30 years now. I go to daily mass. I take care of my mother, who's 95. I have a new grandchild.
Aww.
And I'll tell you, so I've done an awful lot, spiritually speaking, although, you know, it's not. It's just between me and God. But the thing of it is that really, really bothers me. My mother had 11 children,
mm-hmm.
and I got through 9 sisters over the years, by the way. So,
well, that was a marathon for you.
as difficult as a big family is, the thing that really bothers me the most is abortion. And the thing that next to that that bothers me the most is my daughter is trying to adopt is adoption.
Yeah,
and the foster care system's not an option. It's very ridiculous, and you have to too often you're giving the children back to dysfunctional parents who just got out of jail. I mean, there's all kinds of issues here where we live, and so it's very difficult for her to adopt. And so we've gone to the private system, and of course you're talking $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to $100,000 for children. We get calls in the middle of the night from somebody in New York City having a baby. If you give us $24,000 in the next 24 hours, you know, of course the child is, you know, it's a crack baby or whatever it is. So one of the things that bothers me is the Catholic Church got out of adoption. It got away from, you know, the nuns used to be involved, and we used to have more orphanages. And it wasn't all about money like it is now. It's very corrupt in New York State. In fact, in New York State, the number one adoption group that is adopting children in New York State is two males, two married, hopefully. Well, not even married, but
right.
Two males living together or two males married.
Right.
And I said, this is absolutely outrageous. In order to solve, and I draw, put the two together.
Well, Bob, you know what
God does. I think God does too.
Well, I think that there's a direct correlation between abortion and the lack of children for adoption. Number one, I think that's pretty clear. Number two. You know, the Catholic Church has always been involved in adoption, as you say. And I mean, this began in the early church where babies would be placed on the side of the road to die by pagan families that didn't want them, especially if it was a girl. And Christians would come and rescue these babies and raise them. So there's always been a practice of that that's been attentive in Christianity. We, I think, have witnessed in our own day and time, you know, sort of like a submergence of that as a result of something that you just described, and that is the adoption of children by homosexual couples, which would be outside of the church's purview, and the forced need to do that by law for Catholic charities and organizations like that that have long been in the adoption business really put us into a position of a moral decision. And it is tragic, and it is sad, and it's terrible that people make money on the adoption of children. The unfortunate reality is it is one of the ways in which this society is so broken. I do want to thank you for all that you've done for your mom and continue to do for her. And we'll pray for your daughter and her husband so that a baby becomes available and that would find a perfect home with them. Well, friends, we're right down to the wire here. It's been a wonderful opportunity to be with you today. Love it. We'll be back with you again tomorrow, again right here from the campus of EWTN. God bless you for now. Pray for us. We're praying for you. Bye.